This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The television version of this show airs on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. Violence against water protectors and journalists near Standing Rock Camp in North Dakota has ramped up. Police arrested more than 120 people last weekend, and reports have emerged of violent force on the part of authorities and violations of people's right to free speech, free assembly, and a free press. While riot charges against Democracy Now! Host Amy Goodman have been dropped, charges against many others, including journalists, remain. The news this week of a pipeline spill in Pennsylvania has added to the urgency of the fight led by the Standing Rock Sioux tribe to protect their water resources from the Dakota Access Pipeline. Energy Transfer, the same company building the DAPL, owns the subsidiary whose pipeline burst and spilled 55,000 gallons of oil into an endangered river in Pennsylvania. My guest is Sarah Manning. She is a columnist and contributing writer at the Indian Country Today Media Network, and she has been closely covering this story. Welcome to the program, Sarah.
Thank you, Sonali.
Well, we had you on a few months ago, and it seems as though between then and now, not only have the numbers of people gathering at Standing Rock increased, but the police response. I understand that both the police response and the approach of the water protectors has sort of ramped up in you know, recent days. Can you tell us what the latest is? And you were just there at the camp.
Yeah. Well, the presence in the camp has definitely ebbed and flowed, and there have been literally thousands that have come and gone. And what has remained constant, though, is this escalation of police presence and the militarization of police. And what we're seeing now is not police just arriving in riot gear, but they're also arriving in full military uniforms with gas masks. And so it looks like you're being confronted by actual military when they're really police. What's also taking place with the recent reclamation of treaty land at the new frontline camp, there's now a presence of police all the way around. We have scouts on horseback and on foot and on vehicle that have been able to identify some camps in the distance. There are scouts that also count vehicles as they're coming through, and some have estimated up to 80 vehicles at one point gathering en masse as of last night. That number hasn't yet been substantiated, but there is a large number of water protectors right now gathering, hundreds of them, with in addition to or being joined by Mark Ruffalo and also Jesse Jackson at the front line, because there is in fact a mass escalation of police presence. And while that number of 80 that was quoted last night has not been verified, there is definitely a huge presence of police.
And certainly people like Mark Ruffalo, Jesse Jackson, Shailene Woodley, and other celebrities have lent their names to this cause to help bring it to a wider audience, but also for progressive activists who have been watching this, and certainly for Indigenous communities outside of North Dakota. Has this become a symbolic flashpoint, sort of the front line today of this clash between human rights, values, and corporate rights?
Absolutely. And I think for so many people, what this has really kind of drawn attention to is not just the Indigenous struggle for land rights and the protection of what resources that we do have left, but it also points to this greater struggle of humanity to protect our resources. And so we see allies from all walks of life joining us here. And what we're really finding also is this deeper awareness that is building amongst the people, understanding just how deeply vested a lot of governments are with these corporate interests as well. They receive a lot of corporate donations to their various lines of work. And so what is really making itself evident here with the police response really to protect Dakota Access as opposed to protecting citizens is this collusion. So there's so many issues at play here that are really being revealed.
Right. I think you brought up a really important point. What is appearing to unfold in North Dakota right now is the state acting on behalf of a private entity against the people that that the state is supposed to work for, which is ordinary people. The police are and state officials are supposed to be public servants, but they appear to be private servants or working on behalf of a private corporation. Why is North Dakota so intent on getting this pipeline completed at all costs?
Yeah, I definitely think we'll continue to see that unfold as we take a look at the numbers and investigate and take a look at where this money is going. And there have been some earlier reports that have found that various officials within the North Dakota government do have direct ties to a lot of this oil money. And a lot of North Dakota's economy is very heavily dependent on oil, on the oil industry. So what we're seeing here is really the unfolding also of a value of money over people, over natural resources.
What about the resounding silence from the two presidential nominees of the two major parties on this issue? Hillary Clinton has not said a word about the Dakota Access Pipeline. Donald Trump certainly hasn't either. In fact, Greenpeace recently revealed his ties to the fossil fuel industry, and his top energy advisor, Harold Hamm, who has a stake in the Bakken oil that would flow through the Dakota Access Pipeline. What do you make of this resounding silence?
Yeah, well, firstly, you know, what is being revealed with Donald Trump's connection to the oil industry is really just reaffirming what we've already known, is that many government officials have direct ties to the oil industry, which is why we're seeing such a dependence, an intentional dependence created amongst American society on the oil industry when there are so many alternatives that are much safer. There are so many alternatives to energy that are much safer. So we're being fed this narrative that this pipeline is the safest way to transport oil, when we really don't need oil in the way that many Americans have been led to believe that we do. But as far as the silence goes, this is something that we're very used to as Native American people. And the last few debates, presidential debates between Trump and Hillary, Native Americans were not mentioned once. So of course, the Dakota Access Pipeline is not going to be mentioned either. So we're very much used to this invisibility. So again, this just points to, In this day and age, the amount of silence regarding issues that threaten our lives, and the irony of a lot of things taking place right now is really really significant if we take a look at it right now. I mean, just a little side issue is the World Series with the Cleveland Indians, and so still there's this issue of stereotyping Native Americans with a very inhumane caricature that minimizes us to these really offensive features and these really offensive behaviors. So that's taking place. The presidential election is taking place, and there is no mention of Native American issues, let alone our biggest concern right now. This is an unprecedented gathering of Native American people. Nothing like this has ever happened. The reclamation of treaty land, us reasserting claim to that land by virtue of eminent domain, this has never happened at this scale. And yet there's silence. Right. So I think there's really something to analyze here and try to understand. We also have Halloween coming up, where the dressing of dressing as a Native American in stereotypical form, the Native American of the past, the savage Native American, is really popular. So our savage image, our savage stereotypical image, is really popular right now in October, and it's going to be really popular again for Thanksgiving, and it's really popular in sports with the sports mascots. Yet our struggles are not popular, and that's really indicative of this hypocrisy in American society that I really hope that we're prepared to take a long, hard look at.
I'm so glad you brought up the issue of Halloween costumes, such a pet peeve of mine. Anybody who's watching, who's even considering donning feathers, and you're not a Native person, just don't. That's my personal PSA. Just don't do it. Sarah, and I should mention, you know, we said the two presidential candidates have remained silent. Green Party's Jill Stein has been very vocal to her credit. She's even showed up, faced arrest, faced charges. So it's nice to see at least one political party taking this this issue very seriously. Now, what about former presidential candidate and former Vice President Al Gore? He surprised folks by recently coming out very forcefully against the Dakota Access Pipeline. He released a statement in support of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, called the project of the pipeline a dangerous project in blatant disregard of obvious risks to the Missouri River and with disrespect to the Standing Rock Sioux. How important is this statement?
That's extremely important, because what I think it shows is that people that have been in key leadership positions in America are taking a stand. Yet the fact that we don't have our two presidential candidates taking a stand, it just shows that this is not a popular issue. This issue is not something that their election is not contingent upon this. Therefore, it's not important enough to discuss. However, it's huge. It's hugely important. I mean, I don't know anything else that has existed of this magnitude in our time, as far as this collection of not just water protectors, but celebrities of community or of city governments passing resolutions, of numerous members of Congress taking a position. Yet again, the silence. And so I think it's great that we continue to have allies come forth and extend their support, because again, that's just building this base. And unfortunately, sometimes we do need those folks that are in mainstream mass media or Hollywood even to legitimize our cause.
Right.
The better.
Al Gore's daughter has been on the front lines standing in solidarity with Standing Rock Sioux and was one of the people arrested. So kudos to her for doing that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So let's now talk about what you think needs to happen. I mean, another person who's been sort of silent on this is the state governor, North Dakota Governor Jack Dalrymple. What does he need to do? What are folks calling on him to do? Because it's, you know, this is a state authority coming down in favor of energy transfer against the residents of North Dakota, against indigenous tribes and communities in North Dakota.
Right. I think, first of all, I think he needs to be willing to come into the camps himself and talk to the folks there, talk to the elders, talk to the women, talk to the youth, talk to the young men who are giving up their time. I know many folks who have given up their jobs just to come be there on the front lines, and people that have lost their jobs because this fight is that important. And I think the North Dakota governor really needs to kind of reevaluate his work in that position that he's in. What is his overall purpose as the governor? Is it to protect the corporate interests of this oil company? Is it to spend enormous amount of resources on the militarization of police? Or is it to really take a long, hard look at the long-term effects of this pipeline? Is it to really heed the interests of these Native American people that have really put so much on the line to protect water? I don't think we have felt or observed or seen in any capacity the North Dakota governor humbling himself to what's really taking place here.
And I should also bring up the fact that over the weekend we saw a pipeline spill in Pennsylvania. There's been massive flooding in Pennsylvania, and a pipeline run by or built by Sunoco, which is a subsidiary of Energy Transfer, the same company building the Dakota Access Pipeline. This Pennsylvania pipeline burst, releasing 55,000 gallons of oil into an endangered river. When I saw that headline, the first thing I thought, Sarah, was that the water protectors at North Dakota just had the best and most powerful reason to justify their ongoing protest in demanding the protection of their water resources. It's not a matter of if pipelines carrying oil will burst, it's a matter of when, right?
Exactly. And that's really the message that has been consistent throughout this entire campaign. There are a lot of environmental groups on the ground that have done the research. There are environmental attorneys that are there on the ground that know the likelihood of pipelines bursting. And so it definitely has been a conversation of when and not if. We listened to a woman speak last night in a panel discussion about the explosion of a pipeline that caused the death of some people in her community in North Dakota. While this pipeline is going to be under the Missouri River, the proposed pipeline, their system of detection will not detect an explosion, because see, there are leaks and then there are outright explosions. And so by the time sometimes their detection systems come across these leaks or mass explosions, it's too late. It's just too late. And what we're talking about is is, you know, Native American communities, our land base has obviously been shrunk dramatically. And we struggle with emotional health. We struggle with emotional poverty, spiritual poverty. We struggle with physical poverty on the reservation. And so what little resources we do have left, they're extremely important to us. And so the fact that this pipeline, when it breaks, the first people that it is going to affect is the Standing Rock community and then the Cheyenne River Reservation, which is just to the south of them. So with confidence, we are saying that this pipeline is going to break. It's a matter of time, and the Native American community will be the first community that is affected.
Well, Sarah, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I know you've been returning regularly to the front lines of the protest. Where's the best place for people to read your writings about it?
You can access my columns at IndianCountryToday.com or IndianCountryTodayMediaNetwork.com. It'll both take you to the website.
We'll post a link there from our website later today. Sarah, thank you for your good work and for spending this time with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Sonali.
Sarah Manning is a columnist and contributing writer at Indian Country Today Media Network. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find our interviews online at risingupwithsonali.com and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.